This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. What's the word? Not guilty to aiding the enemy. That's the most important verdict today for leaker Private Bradley Manning. We want your opinion on the verdict. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We'll be referring to those opinions, taking your contributions all hour long. Lots more about the verdict in just a moment. Plenty to talk about this hour, including President Obama's role in the latest Middle East peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. Later this hour, we'll note the president's visit to an Amazon warehouse and shipping facility in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Amazon has announced it is hiring thousands of new workers, including 2,000 customer service representatives. We want to hear your customer service stories this hour. We'll share some and talk about how critical customer service is in the post-2008 U.S. economy. But first, 3 years is enough. That's what a placard outside the courtroom in Fort Meade, Maryland, where Private Bradley Manning heard his verdict. That's what the placard said. He's been in military custody since 2010. He learned his fate today, not the sentence, but certainly the verdict. Military Judge Colonel Denise Lind opened with a bombshell in the courtroom in Fort Meade, Maryland, declaring Manning not guilty on the government's most serious charge of aiding the enemy, a charge that carried a life sentence. It was central to the government's aggressive case against Manning. He was found guilty of leaking classified documents and violating the Espionage Act, charges that he had already confessed to. The sentencing phase of this trial begins tomorrow, according to the judge. It's been more than 3 years since he was arrested, more than 3 years since he uploaded more than 700,000 classified documents, more than 3 years since he made WikiLeaks a global phenomenon and changed the world's understanding of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and changed our nation's relationship with the rest of the world in some sense. Joining us now to talk about what is at stake in this very important verdict in this landmark trial of Private Bradley Manning is Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University's School of Law. Karen, welcome.
Hi, John.
So what did Judge Lind say about the government's case to prosecute him for this charge of aiding the enemy?
So I think that is going to be the subject of debate going forward, how the judge made the distinction between the aiding the enemy charges and the rest of the charges. And it's something that will play out in public discourse as time goes along. But basically, she was not convinced that he did this in a way that he knew he was aiding the enemy. And the question underlying all of this may be, what exactly was the harm that occurred with what he did? The government doesn't seem to have proved that there was harm. They theoretically could have been harm, but just what he did and what harm it caused was not proven at the trial. And I think that very much may have gone to why the judge was willing to make distinctions that I think surprised people on all sides of the trial.
So this is, aside from all of the kind of pointy-headed notions that we all had in talking about this case, that it would be a redefinition of government secrecy and that it might take a look at what classified documents are all about, this seems like a fairly straightforward criminal case where the government didn't prove malicious intent, didn't prove the basics of the case, like harm, and the question of government secrecy and the wider implications of the Bradley Manning case, that's for another day.
I think that's essentially correct. I think the bottom line here is that in leaking classified documents, Bradley Manning violated the law and that there has to be some accounting for that. But whether or not it rises to the highest level of a national security crime does not seem to have been persuasive or proven. On the issue of just what can be put out in the public domain and by whom, I think on that point, you may be right. We still don't know where that line is. But what you are learning is that the context in which this decision came down, this verdict came down, may have everything to do with the other issues that are going on right now in terms of who can say what, who can leak what, and what kind of consequences there will be through the legal system.
Well, let's talk. Let's not reconvene law school here to a certain extent, but give us a sense of the importance of Manning and his attorney's decision to be confined to a judge's decision here, to not opt for a jury trial here. How important do you think that was?
tremendously important. I think in national security cases, writ large, particularly, let's say, in terrorism cases, you're often sitting there thinking, I wonder what would have happened if this had been a bench trial, if it had been decided without a jury and only by the judge. And the reason is that in order to understand national security cases, you really do have to have a breadth of understanding of something beyond what the judge seems to be able to charge juries with. And you've seen more, you understand more, you're read into more policy considerations, and I think it had a tremendous impact. And I'm sure that the defense team is now thinking that it was a very wise decision.
Hmm. And back on the questions of procedure in a military courtroom, now, if Manning had confessed to crimes in the civilian court system, it would have been a plea deal. There wouldn't have been a trial, in this case, a court martial. How come the prosecution was able to compel a trial even though Bradley Manning confessed?
Because there were a number of charges. He confessed to some of them, and he didn't confess to others of them. And so they were going to try him on that. I don't see that as the biggest distinction, you know, in terms of not having a plea ahead of time. But you're raising a very interesting question, which is now we see a national security trial within the context of a court-martial. This is not a military commission's at Guantanamo Bay. This is not a federal Article III court prosecution of a terrorism suspect in the United States. We've now seen a court-martial. And you know what? As you said, it worked out in a way that was able to have some nuance, some legitimacy, and to understand how national security prosecutions need to be done in a very thoughtful way that is not either black or white, but there is some gray area. And they were able to handle that in a way many of these other prosecutions have not been able to do.
Is this a question of the prosecution overcharging here and that the judge is really saying that you really pushed it too far?
That is an excellent question. And I think it goes right to the heart. And the answer is probably yes, that they did overcharge, that they what happens in the context of national security prosecutions, as we've seen since 9/11, is that they are slam dunks. If you are accused of a national security crime, it is considered that you are practically guilty before you're tried. And so you may as well go for the largest charge. And there's been a move towards going for higher and higher charges on these kinds of crimes since maybe the middle of the Bush administration. And yes, it's a real wake-up call to think twice about how you're going to charge these crimes, because guess what? Don't overreach, because here's the bottom line. This guy is guilty. And he is going to be sentenced with some form of sentencing. And there will be an acknowledgement that that's a crime, and that's enough. What happens now is that the headlines will say acquitted. They will have the word acquitted in it. He's not acquitted any more than Mr. Gailani, who was the Guantanamo detainee, was acquitted. But it doesn't look good for the prosecution to put themselves in that situation.
We're talking with Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University's School of Law, on the verdict in the Bradley Manning case. Hold on, Karen, for just a moment. Ed Pilkington joins us, reporter for The Guardian in Fort Meade, Maryland. Ed, welcome.
Hi.
What was it like in that courtroom?
Well, like a huge sense of expectation, both inside the court, but also outside where there, you know, hundreds of protesters are gathered, Manning supporters. And the judge, Colonel Denise Lynch, she doesn't make it easy for us. She barked out her verdict. It began with this aiding the enemy charge and finding not guilty, which is a very important, significant ruling. But then she immediately went into the opposite by doing a string of guilty, 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 guilty. It just went on and on. She found him guilty of virtually all the charges that he was accused of, bar that one important aiding the enemy charge.
Reaction among protesters, reaction among people in the courtroom, reaction from Bradley Manning?
Well, the dust is settling here, and you get this feeling that the, you know, huge dust cloud has been created, and it's going to take a while to sort of work our way through this. I think the overriding message that's coming through already is that he has been found guilty of a huge number of charges, at least 17 counts in their entirety, and four more in slightly amended form. And by my initial count, which, you know, it may change, but my initial count is that if he was given the maximum sentence, he could face 130 years in jail, which is, by all intents and purposes, a life sentence. sentence. So this is very, very serious. It's the seventh prosecution under the Espionage Act under the Obama administration, and it's really the first in which a very, very major prison sentence will follow.
Ed Pilkington, reporter for The Guardian in Fort Meade, Maryland, where that verdict was handed down. Karen Greenberg, does this verdict have more implications for the Snowden case or for what's going on in Guantanamo before we go?
I don't know about Guantanamo, but it will definitely play out in the Snowden case and in the attempts for the Assange case to indict and bring Assange to some sort of justice or trial in the United States. So in both ways, I think it will be a sign that these are not going to be such easy cases. And we don't know the future of how the American public, the judiciary, and other people both in power and in the citizenry think about these leak prosecutions. So we're at the beginning of the story, and that's what it tells us.
And we're certainly going to find out more in the next weeks and months. Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University's School of Law, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Of course, we want your take. Is Bradley Manning a hero or a traitor? What would you say has been his impact on government secrecy, on U.S. policy? Andreas writes on Facebook, "This is what you call justice. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in." And before we take a break, we want to note this fact that the United States Nations reported earlier this year. The world today is facing its greatest refugee crisis in more than two decades, with 45 million people forcibly displaced from their homes. What does it mean? Well, in a sense, it means 45 million different things. I remember back in the late 1980s, during the worst days of the civil war in Lebanon, there was no access to the fighting in Beirut, but in southern Lebanon, we in the press corps could see it in the faces of the refugee families fleeing south toward Israel, somewhere they would never otherwise go but for the fact that they feared for their lives. I remember this chicken. A little boy was carrying it with his mom and brother. They had walked for days, I recall. My sense of the people of Lebanon was that they didn't keep chickens for pets, and so I asked the little boy why he was carrying his chicken. He looked at me and said through tears that the chicken would lay eggs so his mother would never have to go out in the bombs again, he said, to find food. That whole war in Lebanon summed up in the face and voice of one child, one refugee. Over the next few days, we will be presenting refugee stories from around the world told in the voices of the refugees themselves. Listen for those stories. Add to them as well. Of course, we want to hear from you, a community of global citizens on the move. Call it Refugee Nation. 45 million people escaping conflict from Syria to Africa to East Asia and in this hemisphere as well. Help us to cover it. We always want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us on Facebook.com/The Takeaway.